أبو ساب، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Tell us about the bus shooting incident near Masjid Al-Aqsa.
This incident occurring in the early hours of Sunday morning, where a Palestinian had opened up fire on an Israeli Jewish settler bus. A number of settlers were wounded, some of them critically. This very close to Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Barak wall of Masjid Al-Aqsa, and just outside the old city of Jerusalem. The bus driver of that particular vehicle saying that the gunman entered the bus and started shooting at the bus, and a number of people inside the bus and outside the bus also were targeted in this particular incident, showing again that Palestine remains on a knife's edge, this coming barely a week after the Israeli assault on the Gaza Strip, in which 49 Palestinians were killed. Straight after the operation, the Israeli occupation army carried out search operations in Palestinian villages near Masjid al-Aqsa, and after a six-hour search, a 26-year-old Palestinian from Al-Quds handed himself in to the Israeli army. Little is known about the man, but his name is called Amir Sidawi. And apparently, by as per reports, he's not affiliated with any Palestinian group. But again, showing that events in one part of Palestine could obviously enrage, and naturally would enrage, Palestinians in other parts of Palestine against the occupation. There's a further factor that Sidawi lives in the neighborhood of Silwan. So, you know, far from things happening in Gaza or any other part of Palestine, Silwan itself is a Palestinian neighborhood that's targeted almost daily by the Israeli occupation police, Jewish extremists, and so forth. Many houses at threat of demolition, and many houses indeed have been demolished in recent years as archaeological digs that are furthering the objectives of the occupation also in this particular town, and that could be a motivation for the attack. Also, what this particular incident shows is that the violence and resistance moving very much closer to parts that were considerably not used to such tactics, at least since the days of the Second Intifada. We're seeing an increase in shootings in the West Bank, shooting attacks against settlers in the West Bank and Jerusalem. And lastly, it is a bit unusual that a Palestinian would hand himself into the Israeli police the way Sidawi has done, if he is behind this particular attack. But analysts saying that if he was behind this attack, the reason that he might have handed himself over to the Israelis is that he has tried to prevent yet more violent Israeli retaliations against his neighborhood of Silwan, and to spare his fellow residents this kind of indignity and this kind of violence, he's decided to rather hand himself in.
Tell us about the Israeli reaction to the attack on Salman Rushdie.
So the controversial author Salman Rushdie was the subject of an attack on Friday that left him in a very serious condition. But what's interesting in the wake of this and all the other issues around it, and his blasphemous writing, the satanic verses that insulted Muslims all over the world and insulted or sought to insult the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in amidst all of those issues, what I found interesting is the response and so much comment that has come out on this particular incident from the State of Israel itself, which in one way could be interpreted as, you know, the Israeli state and the ongoing war of words, to whatever extent that is reality, between the State of Israel and Iran. But on the other hand, it also shows the close link between the Islamophobia industry and Zionism. So all across the echelons of Israeli politics, statements coming out thick and fast on the Salman Rushdie affair and the attack. From the office of the Prime Minister himself, Yair Lapid, he condemned the attack and said it was a consequence of years of incitement by the Iranian regime. Lapid saying that the attack on Salman Rushdie is an attack on our freedoms and values, and it is the result of decades of incitement. And he went on to, on behalf of the people of the State of Israel, wish Salman Rushdie a full and speedy recovery. Another member of the Israeli Knesset by the name of Emil Moati called the denounced the attack and said that the attack on Rushdie is another attempt by extremist fanatics and haters of mankind to raise their heads. Some very problematic insinuations, I guess, if you read between the lines of these kind of statements. And yet another member of the Israeli Knesset saying that the cries of happiness over the stabbing of Rushdie are, quote, the direct continuation of a civilizational struggle. And the brutal attack on the freedom of this man is the result, again, of term that we could read much into. He says it's the result of global poison, which has permeated deeply.
And then Palestinian popular imagination captured by the Israeli assassination of resistance fighter Ibrahim al-Nabalusi.
This happened last week, Tuesday, Israeli troops killing three Palestinians, including the senior resistance fighter who's known as the Lion of Nablus. His name is Ibrahim al-Nabulsi, and this is a raid that Israelis targeted a home in the West Bank city of Nablus. Again, this is in the broader context of very much emboldened Palestinian resistance in the West Bank, and a number of Israeli raids on places like Nablus and Jenin. Now, Ibrahim Nabulsi was one of the men that the Israeli army considered most wanted, and he was the target of this particular assault along with other Palestinian fighters in the exchanges of fire that occurred in the heart of the old city of Nablus. Part of this assault that took place last week, Tuesday, the Israeli army in the heart of Nablus now launching rocket-propelled grenades at the house where the fighters were barricaded in, and eventually this resulting after a number of hours of pitched fights in the demise of Nabulsi along with two other fighters. Now, this story has obviously captured the Palestinian imagination, and Ibrahim Nabulsi, or the Lion of Nablus, has been lionized in the Palestinian imagination and has emerged not only because of his demise here, but because of a number of previous encounters as a kind of Palestinian, if you'd like, superhero. He was a member of the Fatah Armed Wing, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, and in recent months he's proved to be particularly elusive and has emerged strategically, even publicly, almost to the defiance of the Israelis who've been trying very hard to obviously capture or kill him. So the most recent incident before this was on the 24th of July, when the Israelis surrounded him and a group of fighters, again in a home in the old city of Nablus. He managed to get out there despite the heavy fighting and despite fellow fighters being killed. He managed to emerge. There was another incident in February where there was a deadly ambush in the Makhfiya neighborhood and a shootout there. He was again thought to be amongst those who were killed, but it later emerged that he was alive. And he publicly, despite the Israeli premium on his head, came out at the funeral and obviously participated very openly in that funeral. And likewise, in the July incident, after that pitched battle, despite the premium on his head, he fearlessly came out into the public when those funerals took place. Now, adding to this sense of capturing the Palestinian imagination with his demise was the response of his mother, who came out very strong, very confident, despite losing a son. She said that, you know, the killing of Ibrahim, Ibrahim al-Nabulsi, just going to give birth to many hundreds of Ibrahims, as she said, will confront the occupation. And she also, you know, kind of in the middle of addressing the press, in this very difficult time for her, showed a strong face and even ululated to the public, showing her fingers, parting her fingers with a V as a sign for victory. Similarly, the sentiments of his father, saying that it was not the Israelis who were hunting Ibrahim, but rather Ibrahim was hunting them. And whenever he heard about an Israeli army raid, he was the first to go out and confront them. At the end, also many people have been, Palestinian media have been reporting on a voice message that he had sent reportedly just minutes before the Israelis had assassinated him. And in this particular message, he urged Palestinians to resist Israel, and he also sent a personal message to his mother, which went on the lines of, I express my love to you, my mother, and my message to everyone is to protect our homeland after I'm gone. And Ibrahim Nabulsi said in this particular message as well, do not give up your weapons of resistance, although I'm barricaded now, and very soon I may be on my way to martyrdom.
Abizab, as always, shukran for your time and for the update.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was this week's Palestine Report.